we were talking before about how so often, so many of us, myself included, feel like we're living in some sort of dystopian novel that the world can't actually be being killed before our eyes and these atrocities can't actually be happening. And part of the problem is that we are living in multiple layers of reality that, and it can be very difficult to sort of unwind them and to figure out which ones are real and which ones are primary, which ones are secondary, which ones are tertiary, which ones are more important than others. And so there's a few layers I want to talk about just briefly. One of them, layers of reality, is we have the personal economic layer of reality. It's paying my rent. Do I have the money to buy food? Another is the larger economic reality of, is the economy collapsing? Is the economy doing well? So you could have an individual who is not able to pay their rent, even though the economy is booming. You could have people who are doing very well personally, financially, even though the economy is collapsing. There's a great line by a Brazilian general during the military dictatorship back 50, 60 years ago, in which somebody asked him, so how is the economy doing? And he said, the economy is very well, and the people, not so much. So those can be different. And then another layer of reality is physical, ecological reality, that I can be doing very well financially and able to pay my rent and pay for food and get dental work, and the economy could be doing great and the oceans are being murdered. That is a layer of physical reality. We hear this a lot through, we've heard all the talk back in the 80s and 90s, jobs versus owls, that those are two layers of reality that were at war with physical reality, the economic reality of, or the personal economic reality of loggers needing jobs or loggers needing to pay the rent is a bit more, you know, within the capitalist system is a bit more accurate. And then there are the physical reality of they are making money by destroying the habitat of others. And then, of course, there's another layer of reality there, which is that it wasn't really jobs versus owls anyway, because at the same time the cut was going up, jobs were going down because of raw log exports and automation. And I was actually just talking to some people within they're very much capitalists. There were people at a large corporation not very long ago, and they were talking about how there is a lot of talk of how unemployment could be, I think, 50% within the next, I don't know, 10, 15 years, because of automation of jobs. And that leads to the question that Wendell Berry asked of what are people for? Leave that aside. Okay, so we have, so personal economic layer is one layer, and larger economic reality is another layer. Another is physical ecological reality. And then another layer is personal physical reality. So I could be, you know, absolutely wealthy, and I could have a terrible disease. And that's so on the financial level, I could be doing well. And on the personal level, I could be doing poorly. Or you can have someone who has lots of money, which they have been told is supposed to make them happy. And then they're absolutely miserable. So there's that personal emotional reality is another level of reality. And all of these get interwoven, and we can get confused as to which is most important. And one really good example of this that I've talked about for years is that when I would do my endgame talks, I would talk about how if your experience is that your food comes from the grocery store and your water comes from the tap, you will defend to the death the system that brings those to you because your life depends on it. And on the other hand, if your food comes from a land base and your water comes from a river, you will defend to the death that land base and that river because your life depends on that. And one of the things that capitalism, but further back, industrialism, and further back, agriculture, has done very well is to insert itself as a go-between, really, between us and physical reality, between us and the land. And what that does is it makes it so our personal well-being, by which I'm not meaning our wealth, but our personal survival, becomes dependent on capitalism, and or on those who control the food supply, on the system. And we can then forget that the real source of life is the planet. And this is not coincidental and it's not accidental. This is absolutely intentional and it is purposeful. Every abuser knows that they have to, that the best way to control their abuse victim is to make the victim dependent on them. Because take for example, my mother, she had three children. She was a young woman. This is back in the 50s and 60s. And then four children back in the 60s. And what's she going to do without my father to support the family? She was making economic decisions to put up, she was making marginal cost, marginal return decisions. How can she support herself out in the world? And that's a classic trick of abusers. And it's not just on a personal level. The laws of apartheid were written explicitly to force people into a wage economy because the mine owners wanted mines. And the people of the region were living in subsistence villages where their land, where they were dependent directly on the land of the community. And so the government passed hut taxes, poll taxes, dog taxes, that people had to get cash in order to pay these taxes. And how you're going to get cash? You have to go to work at the mine. And that was to explicitly break the people's connection to the land so that their dependence on the land, to make them dependent upon the capitalists. And there's a very famous saying by John Mohawk, which is, there is no sovereignty without food sovereignty. And what that means is, another way to put that is, as my friend George Raffin says, 60 days, that after 60 days, you start dying of hunger. And so those in power have long known that in order to get a pliant workforce, they've had to break our connection to the land, break our dependence upon the land, and make our dependence upon the system so that we will have to go to work for them. And my point having to do with perception here is that this creates a separate layer of reality that was not actually there. Among traditional peoples, they recognize their dependence is upon the land, and they don't have that separate layer of reality. They recognize that the health of the land directly affects their own health and their own health of their community. And they recognize that the health of the land is the health of the community. Non-humans have this too, that salmon know that they require the healthy forest in order to survive. And the forest knows it requires healthy salmon in order to survive. But because we've had this artificial layer put in between us, it's not that we get confused. It's just that we are dependent upon this other layer. And then we get confused after that. And I love that line about only when the last fish is gone, only when the last tree is gone, only when the land has been completely destroyed, will people realize that you can't eat money? And so we're in a bit of a pickle, you know, as we are dependent upon a system that is killing the planet. But I think one of the ways to start separating ourselves and to start trying to at least see clearly is to start articulating that there are these multiple layers of reality and to try to untease them and to start asking ourselves which ones are primary and which ones are secondary.